Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you so much for that special on the piano, and thank you for the music throughout the day as well. Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, let me mention just a couple of items on the back table that can be a help to you and your Christian walk with the Lord. Specifically, there's a couple of things here that would really deal with the matter of the Spirit-filled life, and I really want to encourage you with that. First of all, one little pamphlet from Jonah Rice, do you really want to be Spirit-filled? Don't buy this one unless you want to be convicted, okay? It will be convicting, but also so helpful in instruction of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and how you can add the power of the Holy Spirit in a greater way in your life. So very, very helpful booklet. Another booklet, aren't you glad for small things like this, easier to read? This is one from him as well, is how Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was our example in every area. It's amazing in John chapter 5, twice the Lord Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own self, or I can do nothing on my own. Now, how is that possible? He's the Lord Jesus. He perfectly depended upon the Father and the Spirit to be able to do the words and the works, according to John 14, that he accomplished here on earth. Just incredible, just wonderful truths there. Very helpful. Along those same lines, there's other books back there that I encourage you with personal revival and such. But this one is, well, very helpful. And Jesus, My Victory, My Life, and My All by a young evangelist. And just really helpful in articulating what it means to have Jesus Christ living through you as you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, personal revival truly is the life of the Lord Jesus in us, in our behalf, as the Spirit of God is enabling us and empowering us. And so very helpful. Good. So you say, I've never read a book on that before, perhaps. That would be a good entry level as well to be able to help with that. And this morning I mentioned about the devotional First Light, 365 Daily Devotions by Evangelist Will Rice. He's the president of the Bill Rice Ranch. Fantastic devotions. I wish I would have written those. Just tremendous. And then, of course, the book Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. And I put them together. You can get these separately, but I put these together in what I called a devotional bundle. And, of course, the devotions are laid out for just reading a page or a devotion a day. The prayer book is just a regular chapter book, of course. But I encourage you to think about getting them together. There's a discount if you do. But if you get them together, you can read a portion of the prayer book, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving, along with your devotions, and just let that steady drip come in to really take your prayer level to the next step. And so I'd encourage you with that. And those items, anything and everything that comes in, goes directly back to the ministry. And so I want to encourage you just to get a little bit more familiar with our ministry as well. We do have our prayer card back there on the table and our website. The name of our ministry is Faith for Revival Ministries, because we need faith to access personal revival and corporate revival as well. It's Faith for Revival Ministries, and faithforrevival.com is our website. And I'd like for you to just think about even perhaps getting a as the Lord would have us perhaps come even in the future, as Pastor and I are just looking at schedule and things like that, just to be able to get an update on us. We send out an email update just once a month. And if you do sign up for that, we'll give you the book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. This yellow book is not for sale. It will be our gift to you if you do sign up for our email prayer list or email update. And that'll be on a monthly basis. We do some videos as well of different things, and we'll have a couple of more videos coming out at the end of the year. Just to recap the year, is incredible what God did this year. I don't have time to tell you all of the stories and all of the things, but even the beginning of the year, my son Jonathan and I were both in India, and we flew back in just 3 weeks later. Everything closed down, and we had just a tremendous crusade over there. We had over 400 Trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Just incredible stuff. But that video tells a little bit more about all those things. You have Ephesians chapter 5. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me out of respect of God's Word? Ephesians chapter 5. And look, if you would, at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says here, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible? I call this impossible thanks. Always for all things giving thanks. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I ask that you direct our thoughts to your word on this Thanksgiving season to truly be filled with you in your spirit, your very life, to be thankful and grateful for what we ought to. In our brief time together, would you stir our hearts and help us, Lord, to respond to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A number of years ago, I was asked to be able to take a deaf young man that had attended the Bill Rice Ranch. I was on staff at the time, and the Bill Rice Ranch started to as a deaf ministry, and to take the deaf young man who had been there for a week at camp to the prayer, not to the prayer, to the bus station, and at the end of the week. And so I did so, and I remember my wife went with me, and he was in the back seat, and we went to the bus station. Now, there are certain times and certain places you go, different locations on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And there's certain places you just kind of want to avoid on a Friday night or a Saturday night. You would know some of those perhaps areas in the Chicagoland area. And so this is one of those places, just kind of, just not a very good area whatsoever is right there and the bus station. And I remember I was a little bit nervous. And anyway, so we pulled in. I backed into the parking spot so I could just be ready to go at the moment's notice, And it was already dark. It was late. The buses, this was the last bus that was going to come to the station that night. There was a car or two in the parking lot. And I noticed maybe two people milling around. But one man was sitting on the bus station steps. His elbows were resting upon his knees. He was in camouflage, fatigues, and not clean shaven, not a beard, but that in-between stage where it looks kind of gruff and just kind of growing it out. And I noticed him, and I noticed he stood up. I noticed he started walking right towards our car and right towards my window. And then I noticed he's coming right towards me. And my window was down. It was a comfortable summer evening, and he comes up, and when he does, he approaches me kind of awkwardly, and he says something, but he does so in a just kind of a weird way. He goes, "Hey, have you seen a guy named..." Now, he talked at a normal volume at least, but when he got to the guy's name, he literally blurted it out. And so he goes, "Hey, have you seen a guy named Roy?" And when he said Roy, I just kind of jumped, because I'm already on edge, with the whole situation. I'm uncomfortable. And I said, "No, I haven't seen a guy named Roy. I don't know Roy. Probably don't want to meet Roy." And that's what I'm thinking. And he said, "Hey, man, hey, that's cool." I said, "Good, good." And then he goes, "My name's John. And I'm from..." And he does the same thing, normal volume. But when he gets to the place where he's from, you're going to love this. He goes, "My name's John, and I'm from Chicago." I say, "Hey, great, you're from Chicago. Great place to be from, fly over." Super. He's just going along, and he's talking, and he's introducing himself. And something catches his eye on the vehicle that I'm in. Now, what was I in? At the time, a Ford Mustang GT convertible, candy apple red? No. I was in a 1994 Ford Escort. And he backs up. He goes, "Hey, man, pretty ride." I don't know if it was a plastic feature that caught his eye or what it was. And so he said, "Pretty ride." And then he just keeps kind of going on. And he said, "Does it have four-wheel drive?" I said, "No. Doesn't have four-wheel drive. It has four cylinders, and I don't think all of those are actually firing at the time." And so he's just going on. And then all of a sudden, he's mid-sentence, and my friend John from Chicago just leaves. He walks around the front of the car, and he goes to the next vehicle. I guess he forgot that he's looking for Roy. He's going to have to find Roy. Well, this whole time, the deaf young man is in the back seat, and he asks, what did the man say, or... well, what's happening and such. And I don't know a lot of sign language, just enough to kind of get by. And so I was able to wrap up the entire conversation with one sign. I did this. I pretty much got it right there. And he goes, I understand. All right. And I'm waiting there, bus still is not there. And finally, my friend John from Chicago comes around the car, and I hadn't rolled up the window. I didn't have enough brains for that. And so he comes, and he just leans just inches from my face, and he breathes. And oh, man, I could smell it now. The alcohol was very obvious on his breath. He would stagger around, and he was stammering in his speech. I'd ask him a simple question. He could not answer it in a logical way. You know, John was under the influence of alcohol. You know, when you're under that influence, certainly it's unfortunate, but you see people do things they would not otherwise do. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it talks about giving thanks. And the real key of this giving thanks is in verse 18. Would you look at in verse 18? We read verse 20. Look at verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To the same degree that it would be wrong to be drunk, the contrast is be filled with the Spirit. Don't let those intoxicating spirits and alcohol, liquor, control you. Shape you, do anything for you, but you simply and clearly depend upon the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, and He then does these things. Notice that verse 18 does not end with a period. It continues the sentence in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's a joyful heart that comes out with song, but look at verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as we look at this thought tonight, I want to bring out this fact that the only way we can truly give thanks for all things always unto God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be filled with the Spirit. You know, the surface level happiness, the surface level of how am I feeling today, just going along emotionally, changes. It shifts because our circumstances would change. This matter of gratefulness as we go into this Thanksgiving season is not something that we have to say, well, if I don't feel good or if things aren't going well this year, I can't be thankful, or if I just have a rough time right now. No, the reality is this matter of being filled with the Spirit allows us to be thankful and grateful for what God has done supernaturally. Here is this matter of thanksgiving. Giving thanks always, that's all the time, for all things unto God and the Father. Now, our thanks is always given to something. That's why it's thanksgiving. You give thanks. Did you realize that? You give thanks to someone. Here it is, I'm thanking them. I'm grateful. You know, there's sometimes that we feel grateful. But thanks has to be given. It has to be spoken. It has to be actually communicated. That's why we need to do this. And that's why so many in the secular culture want to take away Thanksgiving, because they don't have someone that they are thankful to, and they're not humble enough to recognize what they have received of any good benefit is truly from God in heaven. The reality is giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father is not possible on our own. The Bible talks about and really deals with something that we need to deal with, and that's our complaining. Our complaining. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2, and notice in verse 14, another verse that almost seems impossible, if you will. It says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, do you realize he says in verse chapter 5, verse 18 of Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things. Here he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't be murmuring. You know, murmur is one of those words that sounds like it is, murmur. murmur. You know, just complaining, disputing, and having the argumentation and all of these things. Do all things so we can be blameless, be harmless, and sons of God with a good testimony. How is that possible in context? Look, if you will, at verse 12 and verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Both to will and to do. He says here in verse 12, work out, not work for your salvation. We very clearly explained this morning, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, without any works of our own or our own merit. So we recognize that is true. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? Well, Philippians 2, 1 through 11 is explaining the mind of Christ. As we're dependent upon the mind of Christ, this humble servant that is obedient, and he is living through us, God wants to work out your salvation, your deliverance, not only your salvation, meaning you're delivered or you're saved, rescued from the penalty of your sin, but as well the power of your sin in every aspect of your life. This salvation, this working out of salvation, isn't something that you take from the outside and you apply it. It is from the Spirit of God within, living out the very person and the life of Jesus Christ in and through you. Jesus is your salvation. It says, work out, allow him to work his way out. Just like a plant or flower would be planted, everything that that flower has and needs and ever will be is right inside that seed. Now, isn't that something? There's a lot to that we could go into, but that seed has everything. Once it is planted and it takes root and it sprouts and it grows, and now here is this plant, this flower, and the beauty of the flower as it blooms, it's not pasted on. It's not painted. It doesn't come from the outside. It's on the inside, and it's worked its way out. Would you allow God, through the Holy Spirit, as you depend upon him, to work out your deliverance, your salvation, and not complain and murmur over the things that are in our lives? Now, I grew up in a family that was a family of, you know, complaining. But we didn't call it complaining, we call it constructive criticism. Because if they at the church did that, and if they did this, you know, then it would be a lot better, because, you know, it's helpful. And I didn't realize I complained as much, and then my wife said, "Hey, do you realize you're complaining now?" Complaining is saying anything in a negative manner where the person to whom you speak can do nothing to change the situation. So if I say, why is the weather like this? Why do we have to, and you can't change the situation, I'm complaining. And it catches like wildfire. But as I began to see this very clearly, you cannot complain and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. You know, probably one of the biggest sins represented in American Christianity is the sin of complaining. Could it be the sin represented here tonight, the last 7 days, the last month, has been the sin of complaining? What if someone cut you off? What if someone cuts in front of you? What if someone does something to hurt or harm you? What is your response? Are you complaining and murmuring? Or do you have a contentment? It says in verse 13, in Philippians 2, 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing." This matter of God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. One commentary said this. It says, "We ought therefore to so serve Christ because it is God who is both working in us to make us willing and as well to do his will. He motivates our will to do his will. Therefore, do so in the fear of God." God never supersedes our will and forces us to be saved. Obviously, God never supersedes our will and forces us to be grateful or to be filled with the Spirit. He is allowing us to choose, but he will motivate your will. You say, "Well, I don't feel like being grateful." If you went through just on feelings, then No. That's where we need to go past the feeling emotional stage where we're living in our lives and depend upon the Spirit of God for supernatural enabling and strength to say, I'm going to do all things without murmurings and disputings. How is that possible to be able to go and do so? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. The Bible says here in Philippians 4, 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment. How can we be content? Going from the complaining stage to the content stage. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased, that's brought low. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That wonderful and tremendous truth that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me is in context of being content. Contentment is just being grateful and thankful and satisfied with what you already have. What if you didn't, if you just said, Lord, if you didn't bless me with anything else, God, what I have right now, Lord, thank you. And I am content with what I already possess or have or my state or my condition. The only way that that can be possible is through Christ's strength. The only way you have Christ's strength working its way out is to be filled with the Spirit as a believer. One particular time, I was coming back to one summer, I was at the Bill Rice Ranch camp ministry, and I was getting ready to go someplace, and we're there every summer, and so we went ahead and we bought a golf cart, a battery-operated golf cart, and so... We got a golf cart to kind of tote around. It's several hundred acres that you on the campground proper. The whole thing is 1,300 acres, so it's massive. And so I get on the golf cart and I pull out onto the road and I'm starting to go up the hill. And immediately the golf cart's slowing down. I go, man, the batteries are dead. It's been charging all night. That's great. I'm gonna have to get new batteries. Six batteries for this golf cart. That's 100 something bucks. That's over $600. I'm just thinking about this. I went ahead and get it back in. I'm pushing it down the hill, get enough coasting so I can be able to get it back in the spot, plug it in. I'm thinking, great, I'll just take the van. So I go to our van. I put the key in the van. I turn the key, and nothing happens. Our van had a little game that would play. It would be guess where when I'm going to start game. And it could be 30 minutes. It could be 3 hours. It could be 3 days. My wife didn't want to take it to town. I said, honey, take it to town. It's living by faith. And she said, that's not the object of my faith. And so I would turn it, nothing. I mean, it wasn't clicking. It wasn't, the starter wasn't doing anything. Just absolutely zero was happening. And I thought, fine. Now the van won't start. And we have the big semi, so I'm not taking the semi down through camp, doing things. And so I'll just walk. What's Tennessee? It's August. It's 95 degrees with 1,000% humidity. You didn't think it could get that way, but it can. And so I walk, and I'm hot, and I get what I need done, and I come back. I'm red. I'm sweaty. I'm just exhausted. And I said, that's okay. I'll just take some time, and I'll relax. I'll cool off in our trailer. So I go into the trailer. The air conditioner is broken. I'm like, ah. Oh. Can you imagine? Here's the golf cart's not working. The van won't start again. The air conditioner just stops working, and I'm complaining. I'm murmuring. Oh, man. Do you realize the sin of complaining is a big sin when it comes to God? Of any sin throughout the Old Testament, I challenge you, look through the Old Testament. More people died of the sin of complaining than any other sin throughout the Old Testament. It's a big deal with God. Ungrateful. The Lord's convicted me about this. And I say, Lord, would you forgive me? And Lord, I just confess my sin of complaining. But still, even though I confessed it, I didn't really move to the state of being content. How do you go from complaining to contentment? Back in our text of Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's actually communicating and the giving of thanks empowered by the Spirit. It's giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I confess my sin, but I can't say there's a change in my spirit. Yet I'm not murmuring right now, but I'm just not happy about the situation. I'm not content. I'm still dissatisfied. So I walked outside. The Lord brought Ephesians 5:20 to my mind, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help me right now to thank you. So I go outside, literally I do this. I point at the golf cart that's dead. And I say, God, thank you for the golf cart that will not work and the dead batteries. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being thankful to the Lord, but I needed to say this. And immediately, something happened. My spirit lifted. Then I went to the van. I said, God, thank you for the van that will not start. And again, I had a lift in my spirit. And then I pointed to the air conditioner on the top of my trailer. And literally, my neighbors probably think I'm absolutely crazy. And I say, Lord, thank you for the air conditioning that won't work. And then I went into the trailer and I sat down and I had totally changed. I went from complaining to contentment by taking the step of faith saying, dear God, would you help me to be grateful, giving thanks? Lord, thank you for my situation and for all these things that are here right now. God, thank you. And literally, I was okay. I was satisfied. And the only thing that changed was Chris Miller. My circumstances didn't change. My conditions didn't change. How did I have contentment now? It wasn't through my strength. It wasn't through my power. But I recognized, Lord, help me. I need to confess complaining. It is a sin that is very serious in your eyes. Lord, I yield to your spirit, and I take this step of faith saying, Lord, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm giving thanks. We called a handyman for the air conditioner. I remember he did this. He went up to the top of our trailer. He took the top of our air conditioner cover off, and he set it down, and he puts his hands over on his knees right there, and he looks down, and he said, I have no idea what the problem is. And so he's up on the top, and he's looking down, and I'm down in the trailer, and he goes, hey, flip the breaker on and off. And I look up, I say, I already did. He said, do it again. So I flip it off, and I flip it back on. He said, did it work? No, it didn't work. Hey, flip the air conditioner, turn the thermostat off and back on again. So I said, I already did. He said, do it again. So I turn it off, I turn it back on. The fan would work each time, but the compressor would not kick on. And this time when I turned it on, I waited, and I heard the fan immediately come on. But then a few moments later, that hum of the compressor, I put my hand up to feel cold air coming out. And I said, it's fixed, it's fixed. He didn't touch it at all. He didn't change anything. I believe what the Lord was doing is, are you ready to be content, Chris Miller? Are you ready to be thankful? Okay, then I'll fix it. That same air conditioner has worked every day since then and is still in our trailer from five years or so later. Well, what was going on? What needed to be fixed? Not the air conditioner, but my heart and contentment. I can do all things. Perhaps we should say, I can do both things. I can be abased and I can abound. Lord, I can do all these things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, I can be content with where I am by you, Lord Jesus, because I am filled with the Spirit and you're working out this deliverance and you're helping me now to do all these things without murmuring and disputing. We received about a week or two later, a check in the mail for $500 for batteries for a golf cart from people I had no idea that they knew about our need. And it covered most of the cost. We then had the van, had to sell it. I said, Lord, bring us someone that I thought, man, maybe we should just take it to the pound, you know, or, you know, just get it impounded here or whatever. So I finally found someone. They said, I know somebody, tow truck driver said, hey, I know somebody that can would like to buy it. I said, okay. He said, what you asking? I said, 500. He said, you sure? I said, yeah. He said, you could probably get, I said, nope, 500. I mean, so I had to get the thing charged up, the battery going and everything, and I got it started. I'm going to get it started. I'm not going to turn it off during the whole deal because I want it to start again. And I know it's not going to start again. So it's running. During the deal, we're making it, we're signing the papers, and we're going to, you know, do the transaction. Right before he hands me the cash, the van stops. It dies. Nothing. I mean, it won't start now. And I said, hey, Do you want to cancel? Do you want to stop? He said, no, I'm still wanting to buy it. I said, okay. And so he jumps in, and it does start. And I said, do not turn it off until you get home. And later I said to my oldest son, I said, we sold the van. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, how much? $500. Was the guy on drugs? And I said, no, it's just the Lord. He gave a guy that would be willing to buy it. You know, in your parking lot, along with our truck and our trailer, is a little blue car that was used, but it's fully paid for. God replaced the van with incredible and clear answers to prayer. What I'm saying is, yes, God did provide in each of those situations, but what I needed to learn was to be content before the situation changed. Would you say, dear God, help me this week, especially, to be focused on giving thanks always for all things. And I can't do it on my own. So Lord, would you fill me, control me, empower me with the Spirit. Just like someone on the negative, sinful extreme would be empowered by that alcohol. Lord, empower me with the Spirit of God to do the right thing and to give thanks. And I know as you're doing so, you're going to work out through me, the very life and the will and the performance of the Lord Jesus. And then I can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it, Lord, right now? Help us to simply learn the lesson of being content by being grateful by faith, by being filled with the Spirit. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, I ask. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, just right where you're seated tonight, would you just do business with the Lord? Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Brother Miller, God's spoken to my heart in some way. Maybe it's about complaining, and Lord convicted me about my complaining. Maybe it's about not being content, and Lord convicted me about not being content with just what I have already. Maybe it's not giving thanks always. Whatever the case is, why don't you right now do business with the Lord and ask the Lord to help you with that and say, dear Spirit of God, would you fill me? And Lord Jesus, would you work through me right now? Would you do so right now as the pianist and the organist would play a hymn of invitation? Thank you. pause, just with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, before we go to prayer, you tonight say, you know, the Lord helped me with this message, whether just dealing with complaining or lack of contentment or just recognizing being filled with the Spirit so I could be grateful. Lord, help me in some way. I'm trusting Him in an area to truly be grateful. If that's true, if it was a help to you, would you just slip your hand up and right back down? God bless you. Number of hands, majority here. I praise the Lord for that. Father, thank you so much for tonight, so many that were helped by your word and certainly by your Spirit. Lord, I pray as we go into our Monday mornings and throughout this week, and not only a week of Thanksgiving, but Lord, even all of our schedules the rest of the year, Lord, help us to recognize the absolute necessity of being filled with you and your Spirit in order to be grateful and content like we ought to. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your kind attention. And Pastor will come, or whoever will come, in just a moment. And I am grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for many here in the church. And God bless you.
Sometimes things like that we kind of dismiss as not significant are so significant in our lives.